Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings. Greetings, blessed with souls. We're alive because we're intending to stay alive right now in this most existential of moments, with the intent of being configured towards Chaim, instructions of life towards Chesed, instructions of kindness towards Rachim, instructions of mercies. This is the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we are Soul Talk. This is Soul Talk number 807, Meditation, part of the foundation of Torah study, part 1. Blessed is our eternal Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. With the Creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on, I believe actually, it is February 4th, not 5th. I made a mistake in the program promotion, but anyway, it's okay. It's now 11:01 Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. Equals USA, is Unified Soul Actualization. The program is to focus on what many people consider to be a spiritual experience, namely meditation. From a Torah perspective, meditation is a catalyst for generating more love and fear of the Creator. We plan to share teachings from the Mittler Rebbe, second Chabad Rebbe, who lived from 1773 to 1827, from its Shar Yuchat, Gate of Unification. If you want to try to make the program a little bit more organic, you can call in at 563-999-3688. That's also for you people out in Chick-Chock, TikTok world. If you're interested to listen to you and participate in your thoughts on meditation, and this is a more of a cognitive, meditative presentation. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your family peacefully and pleasantly as we wait for the end of this song. This is Ascend by Nadav Bachar, a nice young man who lives out in the land of Israel. And we're about to get on with the shoe. Okay, blessed souls, we're now going solo for the next couple of months. Our co-host, Rambam, student, activist, teacher of the teachings of the great Nesher Gadol, the great ego, Dennis Ryan, is now in South America. As he told me, his wife likes warmer weather, so he's where there's warmer weather. So also I want to dedicate today's humble effort towards the ascension of the soul, Ilan Yishmat, Amin Ben Galina, who was killed on October 7th, and also for the Yeled Rach, Ben Yamin, Zachariah Ben Alexander Zalman. So before we get into the idea of meditation, and we want to promote the idea, Shalom, brother. Whatever you are in the world, do you understand English? Okay, this is not going to work, I think. I'm going to have to mute you, because if you don't speak English, we're not going to communicate very well, nicely. Anyway, I want to go to the Garden of Gratitude, which I can show to the Chick-Chock TikTok world here. It's a book that was published in the Holy Land of Israel about the obligation that we have to have gratitude to the one who spoke when the world came into being. This is written by Rabbi Shalom Arush and translated by Rabbi Lazer Brody. And this teaching is to help us realize that it's good to do meditation on our good points and rejoice in them. And we should look out for every good deed that we're doing. And with that being said, give thanks to the Almighty that we've been given the opportunity to do good deeds in the world. We have a prayer in Israel called Nishmat Prayer, literally a prayer that's emanating from the soul, but it is the obligation of all created beings, not just Jews, all created beings before you, to give thanks. There's an obligation to thank, praise, and glorify the Almighty. So Rabbi Nachman wants us to know that we have an obligation to recognize that any actions of goodness that we do, a meritorious deed, ma'asim tovim, as we say in Hebrew, is a gift from God. Therefore, we are obligated to thank Creator, rejoice in the good deed that Creator has enabled us to do. So now I want to go on and talk about this whole idea that some people associate, and you can argue for it, I'm not arguing against it, but rather that meditation is a spiritual experience, but where is that spirituality manifesting? It's manifesting in your brain, that primal matter, right, left, and back brain processing. It is also manifesting in your heart if you really work hard to reveal a new emotional attribute to expand your love and fear of the Almighty. Now, why do we want to expand our love and fear of the Almighty? Well, Rambam writes, and again, this is from a Torah perspective, an Israelite perspective, a Jewish perspective. In the second chapter of the Laws of the Foundation of the Torah, Rambam is quite clear and said that it is a mitzvah to love and fear this glorious and awesome Creator. As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and you shall love God your Lord. And it gives, this is the anglicized version. And Deuteronomy 6:13, chapter 6, verse 13, fear God your Lord. So the Rambam goes on to the second law in the foundations of the Torah. And really, this is to understand why we of Israel believe in just one Creator. Actually, it was more enumerated in chapter 1, the laws of the foundation of the Torah. That's for another day to share those teachings. So what is the path, Rambam says, to attain love and fear? So any man, woman, contemplates the wondrous and great deeds in the creations and can appreciate that there's an infinite wisdom which is beaming through the universe, past, present, and future simultaneously, that surpasses all comparison. How can we compare infinitesimal, microcosmic, human wisdom compared to the universal wisdom of the universal Creator? With that being said, that a person, when he realizes, and this is not even going into the text, just look out into the creation. Do a serious analysis of the wonders of creation. You can do so by getting out into the creation, going to the woods, go swim in the ocean, go by the seashore, go on a mountaintop, even walk through your city or village where you live, any place in the world. And King David, the sweet king of Israel, wrote in chapter 42, verse 3, my soul thirsts for the Lord, for the living God. So when a person gets into a cyclical type of review of these matters, I was once taught by a friend of mine who is very adept in martial arts, there's a simple martial arts exercise in one of the disciplines of the martial arts. I forgot if he said it was karate or kung fu, where a person walks around in a circle and does certain types of easy motions 1,000 times, and then they move on to the more difficult practices of that discipline of martial arts. But so too, when a person is going to reflect on these matters, a person should not be surprised if he or she start to recoil in awe and fear, appreciating how he or she is really just a tiny speck, a microcosmic piece of dust with flimsy, limited wisdom before the one who is perfect knowledge. As King David wrote in chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, when I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, I wonder what is man, what is woman, what is human being, that you should recall him Creator. Now, with this being said, Rambam goes on to say he was going to explain important principles regarding the deeds of the master of the world to provide a foothold for a person to understand, to develop a love of Creator. As our sage just said regarding love, in this manner you will recognize he who spoke, and thus the world was brought into being, which is a frequent topic that I bring up when making humble presentations. But we want to move on now to a seminal book called the Shara Yehud, part of a two-part book or sefer called Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. The commandment is a candle, and Torah is light. In the second portion, that there's an introductory statement by the Mittler Rebbe called the Shara Blot, literally the gate of the first page. And then there's a preface, and then we'll try to go into the works. And if we can, I don't know if we're going to complete the work today, then we're going to go into the explanation of Rav Hillel Meir Parach, who I have a special treat. At the end of today's presentation, with the help of the Most High, we're going to play a song that was composed by the student of the Mittler Rebbe, Rav Dov Ber of Shniori, Rav Hillel Meir Parach. But let's go further. Let's see what the Mittler Rebbe has to say. So the candle is a mitzvah, and Torah is light, or revelation. And this is called the Shar Yuchud, the Gate of Unification. And look, and by inscribing this on the Shahr HaBlat, literally the gate of the first page of this book, the Mittler Rebbe is giving a blessing, and I wouldn't be surprised if he also made a prayer, that each and every person that the Creator has graced the knowledge or the ability to connect to the essence of an idea, to perceive and to understand into the unification of godliness, and there's two general levels of recognizing godliness from the perspective of unification. There's the upper level unification and there's lower level unification. And this is hinted to in a verse that Israel says a minimum of three times a day, once during the morning prayer, once before the evening, during the evening prayer, once before retiring at night, to prepare for the next day's service of the Almighty, the Shema Yisrael. Those you know, though you don't, you can go learn more about it. Just look up Shema Yisrael. I guess you could spell it out phonetically in English. S-H-M-E-H-A. Shema Yisrael. And then, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Moed. And then there's another statement made that was inserted by the sages of Israel. And blessed is the glory of his kingship, which is forever. Now, after wishing that the Almighty should grace each person with a knowledge or an ability to connect to the essence of an idea, to perceive it and understand it concerning these two levels of unifications, each person according to the understanding of their heart. Now, we just said at the beginning of this statement, the knowledge to perceive and understand, but yet it's also according to the understanding of your heart, which is a matter, hopefully later in our humble presentations here, we will talk about intellectual inquiry or intellectual accomplishments or gaining intellectual awareness is not just based on how much activity cerebrally you can carry out and manifest within that great primal matter, which is behind your forehead and to the sides of your ears and the back of your neck, going down to the nape of your neck, which starts to connect to the spinal cord. And King David wrote that if you seek out the Creator, you're going to find Creator. And if not, we understand. And the Almighty is also found in all hearts. And King David said, with all of my heart I seek you out. Now, the Mittler Rebbe wants to be very careful about this. Where are we seeking out the Creator? We originally stated that we're talking about some sort of from above being graced to have knowledge, cognitive awareness. Now we see that it's also this type of seeking out is with another type of cognitive awareness, but one that most people don't have such an awareness of, something hopefully we'll talk about in the future, from the eye of the intellect in the heart, which is very close to a person, but is very deep within a person. Going further now to the preface of the book, that this book as well, seminal writing by the Mittler Rebbe, was also dealing with the cause and effect relationships throughout creation. I made a blessing on this coffee before I say l'chaim to everyone, to life. People in TikTok world can see it, but people in Facebook world won't see it when either they're listening to the live version or they'll hear the archive version with the help of the Most High. So concerning the unification of godliness in each and every particularity in all cause and effect relationships, and we'll eventually be talking more about 10 divine conduits of symmetry known as the Esses Sfirot, which a lot of people stigmatize or just push it away and saying this is not original Torah of Israel, but it is, because there is a physics in the Torah. The source of all human wisdoms are based on that which is revealed. And what's going on is that once these things are revealed, one can see that there is no contradiction between the realm of scientific endeavors and Torah study. In fact, the Lubavitcher Rebbe once said that if one thinks there's a contradiction between scientific endeavor and endeavors of spirituality and Torah knowledge, or that's not your slice of cake, your cup of tea, the Torah, whatever other faith you might be connected to, or wisdom, it's not a contradiction. So, in particular, this book called Shahr HaYuchat, The Gate of Unification, is here to instruct us about how there's a cause and effect of the 10 conduits of symmetry, otherwise known as the Esser Sfirot, as they manifest in something called Abiyah, which is Atzilut, Bria, Yetzir, and Asiya, which is the world of intellect, thought, speech, and action. And this book is not the total depiction, the total pictorialization verbally, cognitively, emotionally, spiritually, of all cause and effect relations, but rather it's building a sort of spinal cord, a foundational knowledge that one can use when one goes deeper into other teachings in the revealed planes of the Torah, or the Kabbalistic or Hasidic portions of the Torah. Generally speaking, I don't learn that much, if any, Kabbalah, just here and there from the Zohar, but it has to be with explanation. It should be very pointed out that a lot of people promoting, they learn Kabbalah, they're teaching Kabbalah. But the Ben Yishchai, who was a sage from Bavel, eventually to be known as Iraq, who lived from 1834 until he went to the next level of life in 1909, said that to learn Kabbalah is like taking a barrel of water and pouring it over one's head just to get a glass of water to quench one's thirst. So when one is learning about matters of Kabbalah and spirituality at that realm, one should have a teacher or learn with a certain explanation that can elucidate. Because there are a lot of things hidden in each statement, just as there are a lot of things hidden in the simple verses of the five books of Moses and what is known as the Tanakh, the holy writings and the historical piece known as the Chronicles and the prophets, whether it be Samuel or Isaiah or Avadio or Micha, Hosea, Yeshua, Joshua. Anyway, so I'm starting to share with you from the preface. You see, there's just a lot of information. So just to go through the preface and the Mishora B'lot, is that the Mittler Rebbe wants to assert to us that everything that's going to be presented in this book is something that a person can bring close to their intellect with a comprehension that is grasped not only in the mind, primal gray matter, but also in the heart, that fleshly human pump, which is filled with energy and oxygen and blood, and there's sodium content within the heart, with a comprehension that will give a person the foundation of getting more into learning about the particularities of all cause and effect relationships from the first contraction, which is also known as the Tzimtzum Harishon, to be dealt with hopefully later in our presentation, not today's presentation, but until this physical world. And this is called a pamphlet on his bonenus, a pamphlet on meditation. That in his time, that many sought that it should be brought to the printing press. And unfortunately, in the early history of the wave of Hasidism that manifested in the 18th and early 19th century, there were a lot of people opposed, even within the Jewish community, known as the Misnagdim, who would, them or their cohorts, even within the Hasidic community, would distort these teachings and make them look like heretical teachings. But there's nothing heretical about traditions that go back all the way to Mount Sinai. And the Mittler Rebbe wants to say that I trust very much so that his efforts to teach the cognitive approach to meditation will be received favorably for the Creator, and his intent was favorable for the good of any human being that wants to seek out the Almighty in a truth and with a sincerity. And he said later on that in this preface that, and I should be judged for merit, anything that still might not be considered kosher, proper in the eyes of the Chachamim. Now, not that the Mittler Rebbe would make some sort of blatant mistake, because at this level of leadership, a Rebbe is someone who's so purified in their thought, speech, and action. The tradition is they don't make mistakes with their Torah teachings. But the way they teach it, it could be misunderstood, and then they're held accountable. So even if a person's a great teacher, one has to be very careful how to disperse out teachings which are extremely refined and extremely high and extremely energizing in a way that the masses of people like myself, to get some sort of understanding and not jump off a cliff spiritually and do something self-endangering based on all this very high levels of spirituality. And there have been cases in the history of Israel and probably in other faiths where people got so spiritual they actually damaged themselves, not just spiritually, emotionally, cognitively, but physically. They endangered themselves, which is something we're not here to endanger ourselves. We're here to make it a better world. And the Mittler Rebbe goes on to say that, you know, from chapter, I think, 19 in Psalms, who can foresee their mistakes? So it's not that he was mistaken in his understanding of these ideas, cognitive approach to meditation, but rather that he should not make a mistake in how to present it, that people will misunderstand what he's saying. And then he concludes to say that the foundation of Israel should be raised up, and the eyes of Israel shall have their eyes illuminated with the light of the Creator, which is an eternal light, with grace and kindness and mercies, in the process of enlivening the soul with these teachings, enlivening the body, and they should be, the nation of Israel, be taken up and lifted up until all the days of the world, until the coming of the Mashiach, the Messiah. But this is also applying to everyone, listen, because we're talking about universal redemption. That we are likened to the moon, the nation of Israel, to hopefully beam out that sunlight of pure godliness that everyone can sense they have a connection to it. So let's now go right into the heart of the book. And there's a, so to speak, there's there's an accompaniment to this book, Shari Yichud. The book of communication. It's called Kuntres Hispilus. And the Rebbe is just hinting to here. Because Kuntres Hispilus is talking about how one's animal soul is activated when interfacing with godly teachings. Yeah. Our animal desires actually can be redirected and subdued at some level. Not necessarily transformed, because that's a very high level of purification. But for most of us, we can redirect our animal desires at the moment by learning about matters of godliness. And when we are moved by different levels of elucidations of godliness, we can take another drink here, Chaim to life, that there is movement in the mind, which is the processing within the gray matter called the brain, the moich. There is movement within the heart, and there's the movement within how we put together the letters in our mind. Teachings will see this. As great as our intellect is, we need to feed our process of putting the letters within our mind, whether it be Hebrew or English or Spanish or Arabic, whatever it may be, that to capture that intellect, to capture that feeling within the mind, that movement that's in the mind, the excitation of interacting with teachings of godliness, to deal with the love and fear spawning forth from the heart and the thought process. And all of this is born out from the Hisbonus process. This is the spirituality that people are yearning for. Now again, many people do deep breathing exercises and picture themselves emptying out all toxic emotional or cognitive or spiritual entities from their body. Fine. Gesundheit, hate, as we say. Go ahead. Be strong in your efforts. But here we're talking about using the mind as an intellectual catalyst to purify oneself. Now, what is, if we would consider meditation a type of body of awareness, of consciousness, what would be the essence of this body of consciousness? What is in its essence? And therefore, what should we be meditating upon? So the Mittler Rebbe wants us to know that the essence, mahus, means mahu, what is it? Meaning, you find a seashell on the shore, or a clam, whatever you might find, and you open up to see, what is that? You know, maybe you'll find a pearl in that clam. I don't know. You'll see some meat, you'll see, you know, and you'll start to identify different points. Or you find a leaf that has a very broad, wide expression. Even though some of these are wider than my hand, I don't have big hands, but, and you look at all the veins, and this is where the chlorophyll is going through in, and it's juicy green, but it's been plucked, and you take it. So what is the essence of meditation? So the Mittler wants to say it's a very strong stare into the essence of whatever you're looking at, and to seek out the truth of it for a long time, meaning to not to run from this point to another point, which is in the Hebraic Mosaic tradition is called girsa, meaning a cursory type of learning, which is part of also the human family experience, you know, cognitive acquisition, but rather to understand it to the point where a person understands a certain clarity with a certain purification, removing the mistaken notions one initially had when encountering this type of awareness in all of its portions and its particularities. And this is the realm which is known as Panemius Bina, which is called the inner understanding, which comes from standing to seek out the truth of something that you are studying. It really doesn't matter, I mean, if it's from Torah or secular endeavors, or the business that you're running, or the business that you work for, or the job that you have, to look at every particularity of the job and see, how can I do a better job? How can I improve the efficiency of this business? And in the Gemara, where we identified already now in the inner dimension of Torah, this is called the Panimius Advina, this is called the inner understanding. In the language of the Talmud, it's called Iyun, which means to do a very strong analysis into the matter. And he gives a reference here, it's in Masechta Sukkah, that there is, one is obligated to sit in a sukkah during the Torah, biblically mandated holiday for the Israelites. If one is learning in a very cursory style, one can go learn inside the sukkah. If one is going to be going back and forth from his sukkah into his house, his tabernacle, to pull out books to really do a deep analysis of some sort of concept, one is exempted from sitting in the sukkah. So we're going to stop there, blessed souls, because we're now down to 4 minutes. And I myself felt that this was a productive introduction. And hopefully we'll have more presentations going to future, because, again, our good friend Dennis Ryan is away in South America, and he's giving me a chance to do a solo presentation. But before we sign out, as I mentioned before, we're going to leave with a treat, a Nigun that was composed by Rev Hillel Meparchi. He didn't play it because he lived from 1795 and went to the next level in 1760, I believe. But this was performed by, I think, Mordechai Borotsky. And here we go. Here's the song. In the meantime, we're going to end up with a Havachad, one love, Gor Lachad, one death, one love, all those Badach, in a peaceful, pleasant way. And let's make it a day that we are praying to Hashem to allow us to do good deeds, to allow us to access our divine image, which is our human intellect. And let's get to that next mile, which you can't see on this Facebook people, those who listen to on Facebook in the archive version, or even live on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to end up for the next mile, which in the universe of TikTok, you can see we're going to end now with that award-winning smile after we play the music. Here we go.